Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. Theus Secularia, the Hypocrite. Today, I want to talk a little bit about evolution as a farce, as a failed system, as a coffin with a zillion billion nails in it, dropped down at the bottom of the sea, never to be found, never be seen again. You know, I was having a conversation with a gentleman, and he brought up the different ages of the earth and the sun, and he mentioned carbon 14. And from what I know about carbon 14, it only dates back to about 5,000 years, because the sun's beams carry radiation in it, and organic matter absorbs that radiation. And once that organic matter, once the ordering principle, the life inside of organic matter dissipates, then that radiation begins to escape. Okay, it begins to escape that organic matter. Now that that radiation escapes for about 5,000 years, and after that, then there's no more radiation inside that matter. Okay, so I don't really see how scientists are claiming to date back further than what the carbon 14 dating method even allows in and of itself. Okay, now I like to take things like the sun into consideration. You know, the fact that the sun is replete with lithium and beryllium. Okay, lithium and beryllium are destroyed at 4 million degrees. So obviously our sun is burning a lot less than 4 million degrees. They speculate at what? Around 2 million something degrees the sun is burning. Well, I guess the outer area, the cornea of the sun, and not the photosphere. The photosphere is a lot cooler. This is weird, but it's a lot cooler than the rest of the sun. So a sun that's only burning at 2 million degrees is a very, very, very young sun. Seeing that a sun, once it reaches a star, once it reaches its maximum burning capacity, all right, it's fusing atoms to continue the life cycle. And so actually the sun is decreasing, is dying at that time after it reaches maximum burning stage. It was like 15 million degrees. Okay, so at 15 million degrees, that's like a billion something year old sun. Our sun is so far away from a billion years old that it's pathetic that they even continue to teach these things in schools. I've debated a few scientists, you know, here and there, and I've run into scientists who were once supporters of Big Bang cosmology and evolution, and they've abandoned it for better ideas. I know guys who, as scientists who made a switch to deism. And deism is what? Deism is a cross between classical Christianity and naturalism. So they say, okay, well, look. They say, we still want to believe in Big Bang cosmology and evolution and all of this, but we believe that God is responsible for it. Okay? So God took a little bit of, what did he call it? The point of singularity, an infinitesimal. Right, that was what was supposed to have been the model for Big Bang cosmology, was the infinitesimal, the point of singularity. So the problem with that was, outside of God, the problem with that was the question, is it logical or illogical to say that something can appear from nothing with no help, with no resources, all right? Can in the requirement for something to appear from nothing would be for something to exist and not exist at the same time and in the same relationship, which is illogical. Okay, and they know this. They know that these things are illogical and they're fanciful and don't make a whole lot of sense. So basically, deism states that God used the point of singularity like a little clock. Or not a clock, a stop clock. You know, you wind it up. And God just stepped back, let it go, and do his own thing. Explode at a certain time, bring all of this big ball of swirling matter into being. Okay? Now, yeah, I think that's kind of absurd. That is a pretty not creative God. I don't see omnipotence there at all. So he just spins the top and just let it go. Nah, I'm not rolling with that. But you know, some scientists had come to the conclusion that yes, to believe in natural selection is really absurd. Not only is it absurd logically, but it's absurd mathematically as well. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And so, yeah, those of you scientists who have abandoned Big Bang cosmology and evolution, congratulations. All right? Congratulations on that. Anyhow, what else can we say about this in this short clip? I don't know. It's stupid. It's absurd. Oh, let me get the scientific law of non-contradiction state that something cannot exist and not exist in the same relationship, and this is what's required for the point of singularity to exist in the first place. All right, it has to be there and not be there. So when you ask scientists questions like when you ask them questions like that, like, hey, what do you think about the logic in something being able to come from nothing without no help, without no support or anything? And, you know, logically, they have to concede and say that, you know, something can't come from nothing without no help. And it don't make no sense for it to do so. So, yeah, so basically, this is the basis of the conversation that I was having with the gentleman. Now, I can go on and on and on and on and on, probably forever, until the day I die, talking about contradicting evolution and Big Bang cosmology and all of its foolishness. So, this is not a full episode today. It is just a brief snippet. I just want to share this, get it off my mind real quick. And again, thank you for joining the podcast. And as I always say, this is Listener Supported Radio. Not Listener Supported Radio, this is Listener Supported Podcast. And if you would support our podcast by going to our website, www.theistsecularia.com, and shop at our web store. Feel free to leave comments, leave messages. Love to hear from you guys. And I am out of here. Peace.